Podcast at 20 Minutes or Less Podcast. Your daily download of X92.9's X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna.
It's Monday, September 25th, 2017. I'm Beckler.
I'm Shauna.
We're going to get into Take a Knee, which happened over the weekend in the NFL. Quite a bit later in the podcast. I was totally immersed in this over the weekend on Twitter, Shauna.
It was quite the thing.
Yeah. I pissed some people off, I think, with my opinions. Lost a few followers. Lost a friend, maybe?
You lost a friend over this?
I think I may have lost a friend, but I gained some support as well.
Okay.
You got to take risks.
Yeah. Yeah.
Let's have a bit of fun first, though.
I found this article somebody wrote where they rank all 50 U.S. states from best winter to worst winter.
Oh, that would be fun to read.
It was great. And I thought someone needs to do the exact same thing for Canada, because winter is what defines us. That's what our national identity is, Shauna.
Winter?
It's winter.
It's true. Yeah.
We do winter pretty well here.
Yeah,
well, most parts. But,
well.
So should we just go through this?
Yeah, I think so.
From best to worst winter? Number 8 is quite obvious, I think. Hang on a second. I got some music for you.
Oh, thank you. So, of course, we're going to kick things off with British Columbia.
Obviously.
It goes without saying. They're the softest people ever. People move there to escape winter, and then they still complain about it. So there's the softest
for sure
of all.
Number okay. 7.
Ontario. Let's be honest, we're talking Toronto here because, well, they're the center of the universe. Toronto, though, is south of Northern California. How hard can winters actually be? Their argument? It's a damp cold.
That seems to be a common argument for soft people, doesn't it?
Yeah, that's
it's
all they've
damp.
Got.
It's damp.
I know it doesn't show it on the temperature gauge, but it's cold.
Number 6.
Quebec. Growing up in Toronto, I remember I used to think Quebec gets freaking cold. And then I looked it up. The average temperature in the winter is minus 6. I grew up a soft person. Okay, a very soft person. I've hardened a little bit, I promise.
Number 5.
The Atlantic provinces. It gets friggin' cold and snowy, but I have friends who moved there, and, well, they didn't die, and they hailed from Toronto, so that's saying something
about
them.
Can't be that bad.
Can't be that bad.
Number 4, Alberta. If we were talking about just the part of the province north of Red Deer, Alberta would rank higher. It sucks up there in the winter, but Chinooks in the Rocky Mountains certainly help down here.
Yeah.
Number 3, the territories. What? Hang on. In terms of length, temperature, darkness, depression, the territories win every category, hands down. But if you live there, you're probably either Inuit, in which case your people have somehow survived there for thousands of years.
Yep.
Or you or your ancestors visited and thought, yeah, this is nice. I think we'll stay here. In which case, you're completely bonkers.
You're crazy, so.
Number 2, Saskatchewan. That's where I'm from. The way I describe a Saskatchewan winter to someone who's never experienced one is like this. It's so cold, it physically hurts. And at times, it's kind of scary. You think, if I got locked outside right now, I would die.
There's times where you can't breathe because your nostrils instantly freeze together, so.
And the worst winter in all of Canada has to be Manitoba.
Yeah.
Winnipeg is the coldest major city in Canada. Manitoba has actual polar bears. It's also Manitoba. Winter in Manitoba is basically just like... for 8 months.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
We're talking about the take a knee.
Yeah. A bunch of NFL players yesterday kneeled through the national anthem. Some teams didn't even come out of the locker room during the national anthem. In protest. Mm-hmm. And it depends who you ask exactly what they were protesting. Some would say Trump. Some would say racism in the United States.
Yeah.
So I'm not entirely sure what the overarching concept of the protest was, but it was powerful to see all those teams taking a knee.
It was. And some of the teams actually all locked arms.
Yeah.
And were kind of showing, like, the owners of some of the teams were coming down to show that they are in solidarity with their teams. And
then... the Golden State Warriors announced over the weekend that they would not attend the traditional meeting with the president at the White House, which the championship team does. And then the Pittsburgh Penguins announced that they would still attend, and everybody lost their minds on the Penguins. But I didn't understand the anger at the Pittsburgh Penguins, why everybody was so upset that they said they would still be going to the White House.
Yeah, and I think people have knee-jerk reactions when it comes to that, especially after the Golden State Warriors said they weren't going to go, and then everybody's assuming that everyone else will follow suit. The Pittsburgh Penguins didn't, and people are upset about that. But as you said, it's kind of a cool thing to do. To be able to go to the White House is still an honor. You know,
no matter who the president is,
I would say. To be invited to the White House, just the idea of that is unbelievable.
Like, would you, even if you despised the president, would you go?
I personally would.
Me too.
Because I want to see the damn White House, really. Like,
I think of somebody like Phil Kessel, who plays for the Pittsburgh Penguins. And he's an American dude. He probably never thought he was going to win a Stanley Cup playing in Toronto.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Sorry, Leafs fans. Oh. And then he finally wins a cup, and now everyone's saying, you know, it's you can't support Trump. You can't go to the White House. And even if you don't support him, I would still really want to see the White House.
Well, people can't take politics out of it, right? It, rather than just saying, well, it's this team, it's an honor for them to be invited. They want to go. People can't look at it that way. They have to look at the politics around it, right?
And they assume that going to the White House would show support for Donald Trump,
right,
which isn't necessarily the case.
No.
You could hate the president and still want to see the White House.
Again, I would, yeah, selfishly, I would want to see the White House. I would want to go check it out.
And while you're there, you could do your own little protest, right? You can take a big dump and not flush.
The BHS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
That's an incredibly complicated and complex issue to try to sum up in like 3 minutes on a radio show, isn't it?
Well, the struggle is I still don't know exactly what everybody was taking a knee for, because I feel like it differed between people.
It did. I think everybody had their own reasons, and that's part of the reason that I got in a fight with people on Twitter on the weekend, was they were trying to sum up everybody's motivations as racism or as anti-Trump or right, as free speech. And I think there's probably a bit of each going on for a lot of people, right?
I agree. Yeah.
Like CNN ran the headline all day, NFL players kneel during anthem in protest of Trump. So you don't know that for every single player, do you, CNN? But
no, and I would say that so whatever Trump said, whether it was his tweets or when he was calling the players the son of a bitch, it may have sparked this.
For sure.
But that doesn't mean that it was solely because of him.
No, and like we said, Colin Kaepernick took that knee before Trump was even president.
Yes.
That he was doing it in solidarity with Black Lives Matter and police killings in the United States.
Yeah.
Which is... And then CNN, of course, has to make everything as anti-Trump as they possibly can. So I couldn't help but notice, though. I don't know if you remember. I'm a Bruins fan, so I remember this quite clearly. But in 2011, when the Bruins won the Stanley Cup, their goalie at the time, Tim Thomas, refused to go to the White House to meet with President Obama. He said he didn't agree with the Obama administration's politics or ideology, and he didn't want to go and support that.
Right.
And he was lambasted by the sports media for being un-American, unpatriotic, ungrateful, not realizing what a great honor it was to go. And I wonder how many of those same people who were critical of Tim Thomas are also supporting Steph Curry and the Golden State Warriors not going to the White House.
The only thing I can think of is, how long ago was that?
That was in 2011.
Yeah, and you wonder, have things changed that much since then? Like,
I think the world has changed, definitely. And I mean, Trump is like nothing we've ever seen before.
Yeah.
And people were responding. I tweeted this out and people were responding to me saying, well, you can't compare Trump and Obama. It's not the same situation. And I agree, but that doesn't matter. Either you support an athlete's right to have an individual political opinion and show their own little protest, or you don't.
Yeah.
You can't just support them when you agree with their politics.
Well, and that's just it. It's a slippery slope. You, as you said, you have to either support or not, because where does it end then? If you pick sides and you start supporting them, and then yeah, are you going to support them for every single political opinion they have? There could be some that are very unpopular. When you draw a line, or do you?
That's a very good question, and it's something that I struggle with in our line of work, because I'm about as close to a free speech absolutist as I think you can get. I think free speech is the most important quality that we have in a democracy here.
Yeah.
But also, you know, people will say you're not free from the consequences of what you say. And we work in an industry where saying the wrong thing could easily get us fired.
Yeah.
Right? So if your team decides that you're hurting their profits, you're hurting attendance because of your politics and how outspoken you are, do they have a right to part ways with you?
And coming from this line of work, I would tend to say yes, because there are certain things that we can say on the air right now that would get us instantly fired.
For sure. But at the same time, I always want to encourage people to say what they think and have those conversations and not... You know, to not risk. I don't know. It's a very, very tough situation. I don't think Trump calling for them to be fired for protesting is right at all. I think that's an attempt to stifle free speech. Even if he wasn't using legal means, I happen to believe in the larger concept of free speech, and that is a direct attempt to stifle it.
Yes. Yeah. And that's the biggest issue here. But it's seems like from there's so many gray areas. That's the problem.
Yeah.
So I don't know what the answer is.
I don't either. Let's make more jokes.
Okay.
BNS in 20 minutes or less.
This is X Mornings, a program that used to be hosted by our good friends Tyler and Lynch.
Yes, Tyler and Lynch, who have since moved to Vancouver.
Which is undoubtedly the softest city in all of Canada. Soft, soft people live in there. So soft.
And we've noticed that they've been getting a few complaints.
Soft complaints.
Soft complaints.
Soft complaints from soft people. We just wanted to maybe share some of them with you.
Yeah.
Because I guess we should say all radio hosts will get complaints occasionally.
Absolutely. And it's part of the job, and you definitely get them, but...
The complaints you get in Vancouver. If it's okay with you, I'm just going to play the Vancouver soft music here.
Yeah, of course.
Okay. We actually noticed this. Lynch had made a sign trying to get other radio stations to come and give him a hug.
Right.
And then no one would, so he threw the sign in the garbage, and someone was like, I hope you recycled that sign. That bristle board is recyclable.
He had to, on his next post, then put, I recycled this, by the way, because he was getting enough complaints about that, so that's good.
Right when they started, right when it was announced that Tyler and Lynch would be the new hosts at this station, the first comment I saw was, oh good, more white people. from a white girl.
From a white girl! She was upset that two white radio hosts just got the job.
Good.
Oh good. I guess Tyler at one point said Mr. Clean would cure a cold if you drank it. And they got a bunch of comments. Did you think saying drinking Mr. Clean was appropriate? You know, kids listen to your station, right?
We battle with that because sometimes we'll think, well, if we say this, everyone will know we're joking, right? Apparently not in Vancouver.
Apparently not. This is perhaps the best one ever.
This is where it culminates.
This is where Tyler had a joke about clowns being the best carpoolers ever. And he got a message directly after this from a clown saying, this is offensive. Not all clowns drive clown cars. This is a blanket statement and I'm offended by it.
It's a hurtful stereotype. Hashtag not all clowns.
Hashtag every clown is beautiful.
Hashtag Vancouver soft.
X92.9.
Did you ever have a teacher absolutely lose it when you were growing up?
Are we doing teacher freakout stories?
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. I don't know why I had a flashback to my music teacher. And her name was Mrs. Boyle. And she was trying to get our attention as a class. She failed. She started screaming at us to shut up, like on the top of her lungs. Shut up, shut, shut up. And we still didn't listen. So she stormed out of the classroom and marched right to the principal's office and was crying. And the principal had to come in and teach our class and basically just came in and like gave us this huge lecture. But when he walked in, I was laughing because I'd gotten a pencil stuck in my French horn.
Phrasing.
I know, but this is actually what, like, there was a literal pencil in the French horn I was trying to play, so I was laughing. The principal took one look at me and was like, get down in the office, and I had to write her this full apology.
Thought you were the ringleader of it all?
And I kind of was. She wasn't a fan of mine, and I actually feel guilty, and I would like to apologize to her now, because it was partly me.
What was her name?
Mrs. Boyle.
Mrs. Boyle, if you're listening, sorry. Shauna's very sorry for the pencil and the French horn and everything.
See, it was funny! It was funny. The principal was just like, why are you laughing at a time this serious?
My horn is all bunged up. I think music teachers lose it a lot because you probably become a band teacher, a music teacher, because you love music and you want to inspire young kids to take up an instrument and enjoy it like you have. And then the kids just ruin your love of music. They sound awful. They butcher hot cross buns, and you got to be witness to it day after day. Really, you're responsible for it.
Yeah, and then
that sucks.
Jerks who get your pencils stuck in the horns. And like, just wondering what's wrong with these kids.
I remember a few teachers freaking out. They would, both of them threw chairs across the classroom. Ooh. Like it was wrestling.
Yeah. It gets to that point.
Yeah, and the one I remember was actually a really, really good teacher. We just pushed him too far the one day. And I remember when that happened, I thought, well, this is ridiculous. Like, what other job could you freak out like this in and still have a job? Like, you couldn't work in an office and throw an office chair across the room and still be employed.
No.
But then I remembered, as I got a little older, and I realized that most jobs don't have, like, a room full of 30 of the worst people in the world trying to make you lose your mind.
No! No! Kids are terrible! I was a horrible child. I actually had a teacher, a gym teacher, and I loved him when I first went to primary school in grade one. And by grade five, he was clearly ready to retire. So he started throwing textbooks across the wall and like he'd throw chalk across the room. At one point, he broke a meter stick over his desk. Like he was done.
He just had to make it to his pension, right?
And he retired the very next year.
Pension, there you go.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was holding on, but man, he was done.
I picture him walking in on his first day of teaching right out of school. You know, so eager.
Yeah.
We're going to inspire some children today.
So
we're going to change lives. And then flash forward 34 years later. It's just like, can we hit the kids?
It's funny you guys say that. I just saw a picture of, like, my grade 2 teacher, and she, like, she failed half the class.
What?
Really?
Yeah. We all had to, like, do it over again. We all, like, there was, like, 4 or 5 of us that got tied to our chairs. Like, it was brutal. I don't know if we got a bad batch of pencils or whatever, but they just kept on breaking, so we kept on getting up and, like, sharpening our pencils. Well, she, like, lost her mind and, like, tied us to the chairs.
Okay, well, I gotta ask, how old are you?
I'm 45.
45, okay, so it was a different time, right?
Yeah.
Now they don't even fail kids, but back then you could tie a kid to a chair.
Oh my God, can you imagine trying to do that now? Tying a kid to a chair?
You'd be on the news for sure. Yeah. You'd be in jail. Well, I know my dad, he'd be 55. He grew up in small town Saskatchewan in a school that was run by nuns. And they were no bullshit. Like, they used to straight up hit the kids, like kick them. Yeah. My dad said he got picked up by his ear one time. They were hard old birds.
But I mean, that's probably how you learn. I mean, it's good discipline.
He's a good guy.
Yeah.
It worked.
You seem like a good guy too, even though you were tied to your chair. So.
Yeah. Half the class didn't make it to grade 3.
Holy
Your God. Teacher's in the KGB? What's your name?
Johnny.
We're gonna get the answers out of you by waterboarding you.
X92.9.
Have you seen the new Hockey Night in Canada commercial?
No.
Okay, so I watched it, and it's very effective. It gets me really excited, actually, that hockey's coming back. But here's the end of it for
you. This is the story of a love affair between a country and a game. You want to try and teach someone about Canada, you go to the television Saturday night and it becomes crystal clear. This is Hockey Night.
So that was Ron McLean speaking,
That's
right?
Ron McLean speaking.
Yeah, it's powerful.
It's very powerful, and it has that, like, sentimental, just the little piano in the background. And
yeah, nostalgia, saying, patriotism.
This is what hockey's all about, or Canada, rather, is all about, is hockey.
You know that I take issue with that, right?
I know, that's why.
I've never been a fan of how closely linked our national identity is to hockey. And not even just hockey itself, but the NHL. Like, we are talking about the same league that extorts Canadians, right? Build us a new rink or we'll leave. This is the very same.
Yeah, this is a particular soft spot, especially with what's going on with the new arena here in Calgary.
Yeah, you want to know what... You want to know what Canada is all about? It's about, like, millionaire hockey players, billionaire owners, and the fans who pay to see them. Is that what it is?
And threatening to leave and wanting a nice new shiny arena.
I mean, when I think of hockey in Canada together, I think about, like, when I grew up playing on the outdoor rink, and yes, it was absolutely freezing, and we'd be out there all the time, and it was the best. Mm-hmm. I don't think about the NHL.
No, and of course they're trying to appeal to that, but Hockey Night in Canada, that's what we all do go watch.
Exactly.
Together.
But this is a billion-dollar league.
Your friends are from a different country, and you're like, let me show you what we're all about.
So? What do you think?
What do you think? Hey? Like,
that's it? What else do you guys have?
Well, we could also have actually thrown in Tim Hortons into the commercial as well, because that's really the national identity.
Now you're just trying to chat my ass, and it's working.
The BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast.
I should clarify, Shauna, that I do like hockey. I like the sport. I enjoy especially the nostalgia of it from, like I said, when I was playing when I was younger.
Yeah.
It's just becoming so inaccessible to so many Canadians, especially, like, if you're a new Canadian, if you're an immigrant to this country and you're told this is what our country is all about, by the way, it's like 10 grand a year, you can't afford to play. I guess you're not really Canadian.
And I think you have to go down to again, as you said, being on rinks and stuff where it doesn't cost you money. You just have to buy the skates, maybe some gloves.
Ponds.
Crappy stick. Yeah.
Frozen rivers.
Yes. Maybe some frozen cow pies.
Cow pies.
Yeah.
Mini sticks in the basement.
Screw pucks even. You know? Yeah.
Getting in brawls.
Yeah.
With your brothers.
That's really what it's about.
That's
right?
What's really... That's what it's a boot.
That's what it's a boot here in Canada.
You've been listening to the BNS in 20 Minutes or Less podcast. You want more? Then tune in to X Mornings with Beckler and Shauna live on Calgary's alternative X92.9. Monday through Friday, 6 to 10 a.m. Mountain Time at x92.9.ca. And don't forget to subscribe to this podcast and have BNS in 20 Minutes or Less downloaded daily to whatever device you use. Later.